Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Thanks for being with us on the program today. My guest speaking to us from his office in Frankfurt is Mayor Chris McBarnes. Mr. Mayor, good as always to talk to you and to talk to you in a slightly different way than we've done before.
We are technologically advanced with WBAA NPR here, so I'm hoping the sound quality's a little better. And the sun is shining here today in the Gem City, Stan. It's good to be with you.
It sounds good on this end, and always good to talk to you. And if you would like to ask your questions of Frankfurt's chief executive today, you can do that by calling us. 765-496-1999 is the telephone number. You can send emails to ask@wbaa.org, and you can tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. Well, I want to start by talking a little bit about recycling. I wondered if you'd been in touch with the folks from Werner and Son to learn how construction is going on their new facility, because obviously that impacts how often people in your community are going to get their recycling picked up.
Sure. Well, number one, it's been great to see how the community's rallied. I've been staying in touch with Jason Forsyth, our street superintendent, and we haven't put pen to paper yet, but the belief is that our recycling numbers actually may be up on average in regards to per quadrant pickup per week. So it's obvious constituents have stayed in tune with this and understand the pickup schedule. We're obviously doing one quadrant of the city per week as opposed to all four. So the southwest quadrant of the city was just picked up this past Wednesday. I believe we pivot back to the southeast next Wednesday. I encourage people to stay in tune with the Frankfurt City of Frankfurt Facebook page. But yes, I have talked to Mr. Werner a couple times in this past month. I know that their drainage board approval has been granted in front of the county commissioners this past week. So state design release is next, and then building permits can be pulled. And so I know that Troy and the family are being very aggressive with this. But for the next month for our city, we will continue to pick up one quadrant per week. And then Werner and Sons is partnering and sending employees over to help our employees sort at our recycling facility out at the street department. So the good news is single stream recycling is still happening. People are cooperating. They're doing a great job, and we're doing all we can to support the Werners during this rebuilding process.
So do you think that this next month might be the last month that you will be on that quadrant system?
I sure hope so. You know, it's going to be great to get back to picking up all quadrants of the city once a week. But at the same time, I do know how construction goes, so I'm not going to sit here and put a hard timeline. But this I can tell people, with the drainage board giving their approval this past week, and now we can move on to the next steps to support the Werners and getting that building going up. I know that family isn't letting any moss grow underneath their feet, and they're going to get that building built and opened as soon as possible because they want to service their customers to the best of their ability. And something I didn't realize, you know, all the other communities such as Delphi that worked with Werners. And so you have other communities that the recycling program has just gone kind of to the wayside because they don't have the same resources we do. So I know the Werners are actively working, and as soon as they can get that up and going, of course, we'll go back to our old system. And here in our departments, especially out of our building inspection department, we're giving Troy all the support we can give him.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about those other communities because we were kind of surprised to learn just how integral Werner and Son was as well. And obviously, they've got several other municipalities that they had been serving. Is there any concern that you have that even when they get back to full capacity at their new site, that it might take a little bit more time for you to get back to that once per week pickup for most of your citizens because other cities are going to want to have their services restored as fast as possible too?
No, I don't think it's going to impact us. Of course, you know, because Werner does not do any of the pickup for us. That's done by our employees. So as long as we have a place to take it, and I know that when Troy opens his doors, he's going to be back to business as usual. We're going to be back to once a week pickup for the entirety of the city. And, you know, I think it speaks volumes that Werner and Sons has built the business they have. They have the reputation. It says a lot about how they oversee their employees and run their business. It's a first-class operation. They're hustling right now to get their doors open. So, no, I know when he opens those doors, we're going to be good to go on our side, and it's going to be good for other cities as well.
On to other things, your city council voted recently to allow the sale and the consumption of alcohol at a couple of city properties, including Prairie Creek Park, whenever it's finished. I remembered when the Lafayette Aviators baseball team started here in Lafayette a couple of years ago, that thing, the sale of alcohol, was one of the must-haves for the team owners, mostly because they said they needed the revenue that that would generate for them to feel like they could make at least break even on having a baseball team here. Is your decision revenue-based at all in that same way of trying to make sure that you get people to come to these, especially this new space, Prairie Creek Park, and utilize it?
Well, it allows us to be much more marketable. You know, we're hoping to have many weddings and receptions at Prairie Creek Park that we can rent out that space for without having the ability to have a structure in place where they can do a champagne toast or serve beer and wine in a segregated area of the park during a reception after vows are taken. You know, we won't have the ability to host those weddings. The same at the neighborhood center. So the two spaces are Prairie Creek Park and the Frankfort Neighborhood Center. And the thing I want to emphasize, there's a lot of restrictions to this in regards to these individuals will be required to hire off-duty police officers for security. They will have to hire catering companies who are professionally licensed to serve alcohol in these spaces. And so this isn't a loose structure. It's a very tight structure. And yes, I think it's going to increase our marketability in these spaces. It's going to increase revenue for sure. It will allow us to service people a little bit better. We don't want things to get out of hand. These people will also have to prove a certain amount of liability insurance that they can carry as well when they have these events. So it's a structured system that will allow us to be more marketable and serve more people and have more events at these two venues.
One of your council members, David Hussey, voted no on this proposition on the grounds that he believes alcohol sales and consumption is immoral. I have to say, I didn't know the Prohibition Party still existed in Frankfort. I thought that had gone away. But in all seriousness, a part of his argument is that it can lead to increased crime in those spaces. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that's where having the off-duty police officers and security guards there and these people who host these events will be required to have these things. All submissions will be application format, which will be presented in open public Board of Works meetings. So people will be able to look at those. People will be able to hear the Board of Works bat that around. Listen, I respect Councilman Hussey's decision on this. I don't fault him for making this decision. He, you know, he's a deeply religious individual, has faith and values, and I do as well. But at the same time, I think when things are done in moderation, you know, growing up at a family reunion, yeah, you know, my dad would have a beer. I don't think my dad's immoral by any means. I think he's a man of God, and I respect him very much. So I think things done in moderation with a strict structure and a set of guidelines, we can get this done and do it safely and effectively, and that's the process we have in place for these two venues.
There is also, I suppose, the slippery slope argument. In other words, what's to stop future votes from extending alcohol use to more places, you know, votes by different city council makeups, things like that, especially if you do not see an immediate spike in bad behavior and people think, oh, you know, this is working out okay?
Well, I think you got to be careful with that, but you're absolutely right, Stan. If a city councilman wanted to bring an amendment to an existing ordinance, a duly elected council member, they absolutely could do that. Will someone do that in the future? Maybe they will. I think it's going to be more difficult to make that case, say, for a TPA park where you have our large shelter house a mere 50 yards away from a playground set. At Prairie Creek Park in the neighborhood center, things are very segregated and you can keep things contained. To say that, you know, a six-pack wouldn't meander over to the gravity rail, which is 50 yards away from the large shelter house during a family reunion, that's going to be much harder to regulate. So I think that councilman would have the burden of proof to show how that would be a safe scenario. These two spaces, I think, allow us to do things more structured and in a safer manner. But you're right. Someone could do that in the future, and we'd have to cross that bridge when it gets here.
This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA. We're talking today with Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes. We'd love to have your questions for him. You can call those in to area code 765-496-1999. You can email them to ask@wbaa.org. And you can, of course, tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. Speaking of Prairie Creek Park, there was an announcement a little bit ago that it was not going to be ready in time to host the Hispanic Heritage Festival that comes up just a few days from now. How is that going to change the event, having to change the venue?
Well, we're going to make the most out of it. Yeah, we're bummed out that we can't hold the Hispanic Heritage Festival at Prairie Creek Park. We have the commitment of McDougall and Pierce. They're going to be bringing on additional crews of workers. And to be quite frank, we were set back with the utility relocation at Prairie Creek Park that we didn't foresee, that set us back close to 2 months with privately held utility organizations that simply didn't move as quickly as we wanted them to move. But Veterans Park, that's a great space. It's just a block west of Prairie Creek Park. It's still in the heart of our downtown. It's set up for a venue like this. And our Parks Department's going to go above and beyond in terms of stringing lights and outdoor decorations. People will still have a wonderful ambiance. It's still going to be something very special. Our Community Development Director, Annie Bacon, has really poured her heart and soul into this. And working with leaders in the Latino community to make sure that culturally, this is going to be a very culturally relevant festival. It's going to be something different than Frankfort's ever had before. So encourage people to come out. It's going to be something different. It's going to allow them to get to know some people maybe that they've never met before and build new friendships and bring this community together. And that, as much as anything, is what this festival is all about.
I wanted to ask about that because is that part of your definition of success for that? Is who shows up to this, particularly how many citizens from non-Latino backgrounds come to the festival?
Yes, absolutely. I want to see a mix in diversity and races and ethnicities and people who their paths maybe wouldn't cross every single day just based upon where they live in the city or where they work. Even though we're a smaller community, people have a lot of different things going on, and it's hard to get to know people outside of your intimate circle of friends. So, yeah, I want to see different people there and build bridges and relationships that someone may have not had the opportunity to do on a regular daily basis. And yeah, we're going to have great music. Yeah, we're going to have great food. Hopefully we're going to have great weather in Veterans Park and downtown Frankfort. But getting to know our neighbors and bringing this community together because we're all Frankfort hot dogs, yeah, absolutely. That's going to dictate the success of this event as much as anything.
Will there in fact be any hot dogs at the event?
No, I hope not. There shouldn't be. there shouldn't be.
Mostly joking about that. But how else, besides the number of people and who comes to the event, do you measure success for this?
Well, for this as well, you know, we want to drive more people downtown. So if our downtown business owners say, hey, we had a lot of residual success that, you know, people come downtown, they hear a couple songs or they listen to a concert by a Hispanic band, and then they go over to Pepe's or then they go to Arnie's. You know, that's a win for me. Getting people just to downtown Frankfort to experience the ambiance, and then they say, hey, you know what? Frankfort's not what I thought it was. I might want to peg an event next year to come back downtown Frankfort, or hey, I see Over the Back Fence or Whiskey Rose or Delilah's, and I want to come back next weekend and do a little shopping. This is also about spurring the local economy and bringing more consumers to our downtown businesses. So that will also dictate success for us.
Our reporter Emily Seiberg has been working on a story assessing what the festival means to the community. And one of the things that she's come across is that there are some painful memories from, you know, about 12 years ago. We found a quote from at the time, the mayor-elect, Chris Pippinger, saying things like, and I'm quoting him now, "We have had such an influx of Hispanics in our town, it is making people uneasy," is a direct quote that was in a paper from him. Is that a worldview that you're trying to fight against with this? Are there still people in town who believe that way?
Well, I think you're always going to have people that have their deep-seated beliefs. Now, have I come across anyone that has given me that reflection of the statement that you just read aloud? I can't say that I have, Stan. I really can't say that I have. I think people who are here are good people, but they need the opportunity to connect with their neighbors that they may not have the opportunity to know otherwise. And it's my belief, it's going to take everyone to move this community forward. It's going to take everyone to feel as though they're a part of this community, whether it's dedicating themselves to their family or not-for-profit volunteer opportunities or where they work, the workforce and the industrial park and the small businesses. So yes, I want to bring this community together. And there's no doubt about it, based upon your skin color or where you come from. There are divides at times. There's divides in society. And so I want this event to really be a marker and a flag that says we want to bring people together. We want to build bridges. We're all here in this community. We should all be working to move it forward. We all have a stake in the game. And it starts by building relationships, building friendships, and figuring out that we have much more in common than we have in difference.
There have also been fears nationally, especially since the El Paso shooting. And I saw this at a journalism conference I was at in San Antonio a couple of weeks ago, that if there's a large gathering of people from Hispanic backgrounds, and part of the conference I was going to was a large conference by journalists from Latino backgrounds, there was a much larger police presence than any conference I've ever seen. And there were some people I talked to who were among the organizers who said, hey, we felt like we had to have this because people from Latino Hispanic backgrounds feel like they might be targeted if it is obvious that there's a large group of people from that ethnicity in one place at one time. How do you help to allay those fears in advance of your festival?
Well, you know, I point to our 4th of July festival every year. We honestly, and I applaud these individuals. We have a great turnout from our Latino community, our Latino demographic within this community, at the TPA Park every year at the 4th of July. And I love it because it's a day to celebrate this nation and the nation that they're now a part of and they're contributing to. And we always have a safe scenario at that event. Now, do we have a heavy police presence? Absolutely, because anytime you get 1,500 or 2,000 people in one small space, we want to have that security. We'll have that same security at the Hispanic Heritage Festival. We will have police officers there. We will have security guards there, people who are trained. So definitely want to allay any fears. We will approach this event just like we do all others, and we'll provide a maximum level of safety for everyone that comes to this, no matter what their skin color is or where they live. We want them to have a safe time in downtown Frankfort, and that's exactly what we will give them.
How do you determine if this becomes a yearly event?
Oh, I think it is a yearly event. I'll tell you right now, it's annual. I think it's just something that makes sense. Getting to know different cultures, I think it really is a part of the spice of life. It grounds you, and it helps you become, I think, a better citizen in this community, understanding how to view the world through others' eyes. And here's the thing, different cultures have different sets of values and different ways of approaching things. And I think it's great to learn from one another and then incorporate new views into your own life. So this is something we will do on an annual basis, and hopefully it will only become bigger and better.
So you're committing to there being one in 2020 at least as well?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I am.
We've got about 10 minutes left with Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes on today's Ask the Mayor show here on WBAA. You can send questions via email to ask@WBAA.org. Call them in to 765-496-1999 or tweet them at WBAA News on Twitter. NDOT officials are coming to your town tonight to host a hearing about possible repairs to State Road 28. This is a road you and I have talked at length about on this program, and there's no question of its importance to Frankfort. What does the city need to get from this upcoming work, in your opinion?
Well, this is a road that's plagued our community for the past 8 years. This is a road when then Governor Mike Pence came here on a visit. I personally had his motorcade rerouted, and I rode with him in the Tahoe to have him feel the pain that the citizens of Frankfort were feeling, and that road was paved soon thereafter. But the infrastructure below this road, there's a subgrade of bricks that probably date back to the early 1900s that are still in place. And so this road is constantly breaking up. It's a main thoroughfare through our city. It feeds our downtown. It feeds our industrial park in the eastern sector of our city. So this is going to be a $20 million project. but it is an Indiana Department of Transportation project. So I'm encouraging as many citizens as possible, especially if you have a business that lies along this thoroughfare, you have a residence, come to the Frankfort High School tonight, 6 p.m., doors open at 5:30, the Frankfort High School cafeteria. It's a public hearing, and it's also our opportunity to hear about this project. Here's a couple things that I'm going to be bringing up tonight. I'm going to be talking about trees along the corridor. When NDOT came in and rebuilt State Road 39, or locally known as Jackson, North Jackson has no trees along that corridor. It hardens the landscape, and it's really a shame that all those trees were cut down and then never properly replaced. I'm going to be talking about that. I'm going to be talking about some medians that right now are causing headaches for our emergency vehicles transgressing through our downtown, that I hope those things are removed from the project. The intersection of Jackson and Walnut in our downtown is way too narrow, so we want to make sure that's being widened properly. And then I want to understand the process. When neighbors and businesses have problems, which will inevitably happen during this construction process, I want to hear from the state of Indiana, what's the process, what's the mechanism to address these complaints, to make sure people have access to their residences, to make sure patrons have access to the businesses along this corridor, because I guarantee you we will run into headaches when it comes to this, inevitably, as in every construction project. So I'm going to be going tonight and making some public comments and then listening to what NDOT has to say, and I really hope the community joins me so we can make sure everything's on the up and up. I'm thankful the $20 million is being spent. It needs to be spent. But I want to make sure it's spent prudently. I really do.
There was some renewed talk at a recent discussion about wind farms in the county, that the State Road 28 corridor really is a place that the city and county want to expand and want to capitalize on. Does it need just fixes, or does it really need, do you think, an overhaul before it becomes that sort of corridor that really draws people in from the interstate to your downtown?
Well, this stretch of road that we'll be talking about tonight from County Road 200 to the jog at Hoke and Walnut, it needs a complete overhaul. And obviously, we're getting that this next year. The county has approved, in cooperation with the City Council and the Utility Service Board, to take water and sewer out to the interstate. That stretch of four-lane highway seems to be in pretty good shape right now, and it's holding up. So once we get utilities to the interchange, I think you'll see that grow. I mean, Stan, you and I are young enough, 25, 30 years from now, we'll have to get together and sit down and have a cup of coffee. With those utilities being stretched out to the interstate, and if annexation is done properly, which that is on the horizon for the city, you
it's
and I
a bad
talked
word,
about that
you know.
8 years ago.
Many people think annexation's a bad word.
I understand that, but here's the thing. If we're going to service the water and the sewer for this project, I've got to make sure that our ratepayers in the city of Frankfort are taken care of. And the only way to make sure they're taken care of, to make sure we're getting the best bang for our buck, is to grow our tax base. And I think if many of the myths of annexation are debunked, strategic annexation, responsible annexation is done, you do it in cooperation. And let's be honest, with the way the state laws are written nowadays, There's no such thing as involuntary annexation anymore. It's got to be voluntary. You got to get people to sign on anyway. So that's something that's on the horizon. So I think with what NDOT's doing and what we are partnering with the county to do, I think you could see tremendous growth in our community. I think you could even see Frankfort be the next Noblesville 20, 30, 40 years from now, with how Noblesville grew to the interstate when it was just cornfields back in the day. So I think big things are on the horizon. I think we're focusing on the right things, but we still have a lot of work to do.
Speaking of that wind farm discussion, there was also talk of an economic development report, and there are differing views of what this report actually says, depending on whom you ask. The people from the wind farms read it to say Clinton County might be in need of more revenue in the not-too-distant future if it did not invest more, that it was going to be running perilously close to not being in the black, although not necessarily because of wind power. I think the report doesn't talk specifically about that. County Commission President Josh Uitz accused the wind farm company of, in his words, weaponizing that report. But it seems like there is general agreement that you could use more investment. Is the county or the city in a position where you can turn things down when a wind farm company says to you, we're going to come and we're going to give annual stipends to people to put some of these on their property, and knowing that you can change these, you know, the contours of these projects a little bit to try to be both economically feasible and something that people would want to live around? Are you in a position where you can turn things down?
I don't think we should be a government that just jumps on the first flashy set of dollar signs that comes across the table. And that's not only just with wind projects. I'm talking about if I have an industry that wants to come in but is paying $12, $13 an hour jobs, I don't think we want that right now in the city of Frankfort. Here's the thing. This topic, Stan, and you know this, has been so divisive in our community. Boy, I sure wish this is something that the state would give us the ability to put on the ballot as a referendum. Do we want wind farms? Do we not want wind farms? Because putting that back on three elected officials at this point in time is just a very, very difficult thing. There's a lot of emotions here. There's a lot of tension. There's a lot of stress in the system, so to speak. And yes, this would bring additional money into our community. I think we have to have smart growth. I think we have to have strategic growth. I'm for the citizen voice, and I sure wish something like this could be put on the ballot and we could decide this, and the people of Frankfort could let their voice be heard, and then the commissioners could move forward. But obviously, we would need some help from our state legislators when it came to that.
What do you think the report says? I mean, do you think that there's enough investment, like the, you know, Frito-Lay announcing they were going to create 45 more jobs in your city? Is that the kind of investment that you need? That just having, you know, that's a pretty small investment. I mean, 45 jobs is not a lot. $70 million to a multi-billion dollar company like Frito-Lay is not a ton of money, but it makes a difference in a city the size of Frankfurt.
Well, yeah,
is that enough?
Frito-Lay's been $160 million.
Well, right. But I mean, is that size of investment, you know, piecemealed out over time enough, or do you need bigger moves, I guess is what I'm asking? And do you think that that's what the report says?
Well, the Frito-Lay, that was the sixth largest micropolitan investment in the nation last year. Then you got $70 million on top of that. So we're setting at $230 million. Growth in the city of Frankfort, we're fine. We are doing well. We can right now, we can support the services that we need to support to give the services to the citizens of Frankfort what they need and what they deserve. I'm not going to speak for the county, but, you know, one thing, when I got my flyer in the mail, it talked about a hospital budget and not being able to support a hospital budget. Well, we've sold our hospital. IU Health is operating our hospital now. So there were some things taken into consideration in that report that aren't even relevant to the county anymore. So in terms of it being weaponized, maybe here and there, but I'd have to let the county commissioner speak to that in totality. I can speak towards my budget, and I can say the growth that we are experiencing right now in the city of Frankfort is wonderful. We're setting record pace, and we want to continue that.
Are you getting enough of those high-paying jobs, not the $12 or $13 an hour jobs you were talking about just a second ago, but higher than that to lure new people in?
Well, right now, I know the jobs out at Frito-Lay, individuals could be making anywhere $46,000 to $50,000 a year. That's base salary. That doesn't include overtime opportunities. That's a pretty darn good salary. But obviously, we want to stretch ourselves and do even better in that space, Stan. If I said we did not want to, I wouldn't be being honest with you. Yeah, we want to stretch ourselves and improve salaries, but by having Prairie Creek Park, a new aquatic center, better housing in our community, better infrastructure, better educational opportunities, you know, that's when we'll experience the abilities to bring in these higher paying jobs, and that's what we're striving for.
All right, Mr. Mayor, thanks as always. That's the time we've got. We appreciate it, and we'll do it again next month. How about it?
Thank you for the opportunity, Stan. I hope you have a great week.
All right. Same to you, sir. And I want to point out that there's going to be a small change to Ask the Mayor starting next week because we're starting the new statewide talk show, All In, that will be airing here on WBAA News. All of our public affairs programming, our Ask the Mayor shows, our monthly conversations with Purdue University President Mitch Daniels are going to go back to their original start time of noon from when we started them a few years ago. So listen at this time next week for All In at 1 o'clock, but listen at noon next Thursday for our conversation with West Lafayette Mayor John Dennis on Ask the Mayor. You can send questions for him to ask@wbaa.org. You can tweet them at WBAA News on Twitter and set your reminders to listen to all of our public affairs programming starting at noon, beginning in October and going forward. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.